Have a blessed day and welcome to the Amen Corner program on Podomatic. This is your host, Brother Dave Moran, speaking. You are welcome to download and share this program. God says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it." So here is today's word. Okay, our scripture for today is found in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. I'll begin in verse 14. "For the love of Christ constraineth us," says Paul, "because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that we which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The scripture I want you to see is the very last one. It was chapter 5 and 21 of 2 Corinthians. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And Isaiah 52:14 says this, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Talking about Jesus, before he was crucified, his face was so marred and so bruised, so wounded. It says, "And as many as were astonished," it says in the King James, which is the same as astonished, "at thee, his visage," or his face, "was so marred more than any man." It even says in the Jewish publication service, the JPS version, it says, "More than," he didn't even look like a man, and "more than the sons of men." He didn't even look like a person anymore. And we find also in the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "For in him," that is in Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And ye being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Another place in the Bible it says, "They that are hung on a tree are cursed," you know, and that's why Jesus had to die on the cross, to become a curse for us, like our scripture said before, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." He was the perfect Son of God. He knew no sin, but God made him to be sin for us, and he was stricken and smitten of God, it seemed, and the men spat upon him and reviled him and plucked out his beard and all those things that they did in Pontius Pilate's judgment hall. They beat him. And all those things were laid upon the Lord Jesus. He was made to be sin for us, and we ought to consider all our sin nailed to his cross to be gone. And when we look at sin today, we ought not to think of it as being something pleasant or something okay. Sin is to be thought of as Christ was, not even recognizable, more marred than the sons of men, spat upon and abused and afflicted. That's the way we ought to look at sin today. We ought to look at it that way. Here's a good illustration of the way we ought to look at sin. Suppose I was to take a handkerchief and put it up to my nose, and then you hear this. Now, would you want to borrow that handkerchief from me after I blew my nose into that handkerchief and got it all filthy? Would you want to borrow? Would you want to use that handkerchief after me? I don't think so. That's the way we need to look at sin. We want to look at something. All our righteousness, indeed, the Bible says, is a filthy rag. How much more the iniquity that we are guilty of, and we need to ask God for forgiveness through Christ, that we can hang that also on the cross and just not consider it anymore. We ought to hate sin. We ought to say, I don't want any part of it. I hate it. It's like that rag that I just blew my nose into. You know, think of it like that. Do you want it? Do you want to borrow it now? No, you don't want anything to do with sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our final scripture is in the book of Philippians. Let's see, it's chapter 2. I'll begin at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, says Paul, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant or a slave, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that ye may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause do ye also joy and rejoice with me. Paul was willing to offer himself a sacrifice, and he eventually he did give his life, being killed by the Romans, by Nero, being beheaded. So, my friend, there used to be an expression. We said things were as ugly as sin, or something was as ugly as sin. You don't hear that very much anymore. The world, it seems to be trying to make sin look less ugly and trying to make sin look more attractive. The devil is trying to do that anyway. It seemed like the advertisements you see, you know, they talk about more gusto, and they show a bunch of young, attractive people drinking beer, and they would, if they could, on TV today, they would be showing the smoking cigarettes and everything like that if they could, but they pass laws against that, and I think they don't have laws where they can show you someone drinking a liquor on TV anymore, but they try to make sin as attractive as they can. But we need to retain that idea ugly as sin. Sin ought to be the ugliest thing on our mind. It ought to be something we hate. We don't want it. It's filthy. It's like the old snotty rag. We don't want that in our life. We ought not to put it in front of our family. We ought not to put sin in front of our children. We ought not to bring it to work. We ought not to bring it anywhere. We ought to just throw it out and let it be gone. Let it be nailed to the cross of Christ and forgotten. And let's live, as the Bible says, in newness of life. Behold, all things are become new. You become a new creature in Christ. If you give your heart to Him, if you're saved, you can begin that life anew and have new things and great things in Christ. Amen.